The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, welcome back. It's Friday, and we've made it. Close call, but we made it. Quite a week. It began really last Saturday and has not let up at all. Now, in terms of the attempt to erase Donald Trump and place him in the history books, we have more and more disinformation being spewed out, conjured up. And this is one of the, look, there's a story, and I'm going to take it down. I put it up, not understanding what the graphics were trying to say. It said the woman behind Trump, the woman who was sunglasses and she kept using her camera to film what was going on in front of her, which was chaos and Secret Services agents at work and so forth, that woman was acting unusually. And someone said that she had been identified. Well, they sent out a video of her in the stands doing her thing. Then they sent out a number of pictures. And since I assumed that the FBI had identified her, the pictures of the assistant FBI director that accompanied the still pictures of the woman in the stands, I figured it was just an FBI agent trying to glorify herself. I busted this. Our department identified her. No, I was wrong. That's the logical thing to think. What it was the people who put this story out there were trying to imply that the assistant director of the FBI was in fact that woman, the mystery woman, in the stands behind Trump. It doesn't even look anything like her. I mean, it's, come on, a cursory glance will tell you, wrong. So I'm going to take the story down. It's just part of the craziness that happens after all major events like this. More conspiracy angles are being introduced into the mainstream media sewage dump, and it's crazy. It's just like the Las Vegas massacre. It's like any major event of this magnitude. 9/11, you start to hear all kinds of conspiratorial disinformation. I mean, it's crazy. Take this back, take the Trump assassination attempt back, and let's go back to JFK, and then RFK, and then 9/11. And there are parallels between all four of these events. Make no mistake about it. I want to say one other thing. I don't believe for a minute, I don't even believe for a second, that Joe Biden suddenly came down with COVID in Las Vegas. He was going to make a couple of speeches there, and I'm here to tell you that at first I figured that, well, they probably pulled the plug on him because he's not going to have much of a turnout. They don't want to embarrass him. No, the timing of this. What did he say to Donald Trump in their brief phone call, the first phone call they've had, probably the only one, since Trump escaped being assassinated? What did old Biden, demented diaper Joe, say to Donald Trump? Some of you know. He said, "How did you duck your head like that?" Or, "What made you duck your head like that?" Or, "Turn your head?" I mean, it was something so nutty that only a demented mind would say it. Now, I think that Biden was judged to be not only in the know about this assassination attempt, but not a trustworthy member. In other words, he's so demented he could have said anything at any time to anyone if he's on camera. And I think they had to wrap him up, fly him back to Delaware, and put him back in the basement to make damn sure he didn't say anything that would open the door to all kinds of speculation about the liberal left communist Bolshevik Zionist government having been involved in the planning and the execution of the attempted assassination of Donald J. Trump. I think they shut Biden down, shut him up, so they could make sure that he wouldn't say anything dumb. He does have just a slight history of saying things in that regard. He is completely unreliable. So, okay, with that said, Mr. Wade Peterson is with us. He's an author, and there's an essay up in headlines right now. I think it's still there. It should be. Did I say Wade? I meant Wyatt. Sorry. And I'm looking at the title here. I wish we could just tie this more formally, but we will. Parallels between JFK, RFK, and 9/11. Wyatt, are you there? Can you hear me okay?
Hey, good evening, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. You could actually add to this article or revise it and just put the Biden assassination attempt on there. They're parallels. Many of these things have such similarities. They're textbook operations, as we know. All right, let's just spend a little bit of time on the Trump assassination, then we'll go into your essay, which is outstanding, a little bit more in detail. So how does it look to you at this point?
Well, thanks a lot, Jeff. First, let me say I've been listening to your show for many years, so it's a real pleasure to be able to talk to you tonight. With this Trump situation, it's really tough to tell what's going on.
Oh, my. All right. Well, they cut Wyatt off already. We'll get him right back. Wyatt, are you there?
Jeff, I'm back. Yep, sorry, lost you there.
No, they often do that. If something is particularly important or controversial or might open doors, they'll interrupt and harass guests. It happens often, so don't worry about it.
I've noticed that recently myself. I just started a website for the first time, truthblitzkrieg.com, and a friend of mine has helped me out with it. We're noticing all sorts of what we can only describe as like cyber attacks and subterfuge going on. And at first it was kind of like it was kind of a joke. We were sort of joking about it, like, oh yeah, you know, the usual suspects are messing with us, but it's happening with repulsive regularity. And we're starting to begin to think that it's actually might be the case. So anyway, yeah, I'm back on, with this Trump situation. Yeah. I really don't know what to make of it right yet. I mean, it's just layer upon layer of misdirection, and you really don't know what to make of it. It reminds me of what Karl Rove said about his reality-based community. If you recall, and Karl Rove was George W. Bush's primary advisor.
Rove.
He said,
"I hadn't remembered.
Right?
No, I hadn't heard that name in quite a while."
He should be forgotten. He should be discarded into the trash bin of history. But
amen to that.
But one of the pertinent quotes that he came out with that I think applies directly to this Trump situation is he said that we're an empire now, and when we act, you're going to judiciously examine our actions, and while you're examining that, we're going to act again and again. And it almost makes it seem like they're creating these Gordian knots that are never meant to be unraveled. And the longer we try, the more we spin our tires, and we just follow dead end after dead end and what if and various possibilities without ever really being able to nail down who is behind it and what the purpose was. So a lot of times I don't try and deal with the facts of the case. I know that sounds a little contradictory, or the minutia. I try and just ask myself, like, who benefits? Who benefits from this particular series of events? And, you know, it's usually...
Or who benefits the most? Because obviously a number of different agencies, people, power structures, would have an interest in removing Trump. There are many different aspects to this. I concur 100%. I think you're right. And in that you pull back and try to look at the various cul-de-sacs that people are led down, and I mean, they do go nowhere. And if you look at the bigger picture, you have a much better chance of understanding that the real importance of some of these really monumental happenings. Go ahead.
Sure. Well, you're absolutely correct. And that's what befuddles investigators a lot of times with a real high-profile crime like 9/11 or the Kennedy assassination, is it's not just one objective that's being fulfilled. There's oftentimes multiple objectives. And, you know, usually, like take the Kennedy assassination, for instance, there were a lot of people who wanted to see Kennedy dead. So investigators a lot of times get hung up just going after, you know, the military, the Joint Chiefs of Staff or Alan Dulles and these kinds of people who had a personal gripe or a professional gripe with Kennedy.
Uh-huh.
And it's not often
uh-huh.
that they follow the trail to its, you know, they don't open that last Matryoshka doll, which usually leads you to Tel Aviv.
You got it. Well said. All true. And then some. This is an incredibly bizarre time we live in now. And I do think it's worthy of mentioning that a very small percentage of the world population, 0.03% of the world population, is running most of the world events now. Virtually everything of any import. They're right there. They got their hands on it. And things are not going to change. The more you look at a situation like the Trump attempted shooting, well, it was a shooting, attempted assassination, the more disinformation you begin to see. Day by day, they just lead people into more cul-de-sacs, more dead ends, and I think they're just sitting back and laughing. And now they have AI to help them, which gives them a tremendous advantage over all of us. AI is superhuman in terms of its intelligence, how it can look at all the major events in history, how to steer the majority away from finding that door that needs to be gone through. So you're correct. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. Certainly unprecedented times we're living in, especially considering the technology being in the hands of these lunatics. I mean, these people that are, you know, dominating our culture and creating the paradigm, creating the perceptions of billions of people, are the same people that crawled their ways out of the shtetls of Eastern Europe, and they've brought that mentality into the highest echelons of organized power in this country. And so our society is starting to reflect that demented persuasion that they've been able to impose upon us. We sort of lost our way. We've lost, you know, I mean, you've been around a long time. I mean, has anything gotten better in the last 50 years?
No.
Or is everything just, no. And it's getting progressively more and more demonic, more and more satanic.
By design. Absolutely.
And it's this Jewish mindset, the spirituality that's been imposed upon us through highly charged mass rituals like 9/11 and the assassination of President Kennedy and these mass shooting events that we've seen more recently. You know, it's out of
Wyatt, you know, Wyatt, one second. Those, you just said it. Those are ritual events. Those are ritual mass murders. They're burnt offerings. They're sacrifice to their god, whichever god they happen to be focused on. But it's ultimately, it's the same damn people. You can go all the way back to Lincoln and before Lincoln. It doesn't matter. You can go back 2,000 years. And to notice that is somehow evil. We're not supposed to notice who they are. Hey, I would notice them no matter if they were Chinese, Irishmen, or Hindus. I don't care who it is. If somebody is controlling virtually everything that affects me in my life, not only do we have a right to know that, I think we have a responsibility to know that. Please continue.
Absolutely. And you just hit the nail right on the head. A lot of people, when I write about these themes or I speak about these themes, they respond with, well, he must really hate Jews. And it's like, well, I'm just presenting information. It's not my fault that I'm dissecting a crime in the case of this recent article. It's not my fault these people happen to be Jewish. That's where the evidence goes. If they were North Koreans, we'd be doing the exact same thing. You mentioned the Lincoln assassination. I think it's kind of funny. You go back to the Civil War times, and a lot of people don't know about Ulysses S. Grant's General Order Number 11, which evicted the Jews from Tennessee and a couple of the surrounding states because they were becoming
problematic.
Please
go through that a little bit more. This is important because it's part of our history that has been, for obvious reasons, hidden from us. Go ahead.
Tell us a little bit more about that. They were smuggling, on both sides, as always. They were playing both sides of the war, of the conflict. And so eventually Grant just said, this is becoming way too problematic for us. These people have no allegiance to one side or the other. And so he passed General Order Number 11, and it was almost immediately rescinded. I don't know if it ever went into effect, but he essentially tried evicting the Jews out of the localities that his army occupied because they were just so troublesome. And we're seeing that today. When people scour the ranks of history and they say, look at all these brilliant men, Henry Ford and, Nikola Tesla and people like that, but they all had this one vile hang-up. They all were anti-Semitic. And it's like, well, look around you. Why do you think that might be? Do you think that perhaps they got up to the same things back then that they're getting up to now? And I think that there's certainly a strong case for that.
Overwhelmingly strong. Look, it's simply pragmatic. When one walks on this planet as a living life form, allegedly intelligent, to notice your surroundings and to try to understand who's influencing what happens to you or giving you opportunities or taking opportunities away. And I'm speaking collectively here, not just about me or individuals. And if noticing who's controlling the planet is anti-Semitic, count me in. I'm not going to hide from reality. I won't. And furthermore, if you look at and you study Judaism, and most of the active parts of the people on the planet, 17 million, who identify as being Jewish, you'll understand that many of them, if not the majority, the great majority, really weren't biblical, genetically speaking, Jews. They started with Judaism in the 600s when the Khazarian Empire adopted Judaism as the formal state religion. Then the Khazar Empire fell apart, and they all fled, and most of them went to Eastern Europe, taking with them what? Taking with them Judaism. But they're not biblical Jews. That started with them in the year 600-something. I can't remember what it is. But that's another aspect of it. No, I want to know what the hell's going on. And if they want to throw their stupid names around, that's fine. But I am not anti-Semitic in the least. And to phrase it succinctly and straight away, most of the people I'm trying to study and understand are not biblical Jews to begin with. They adopted the whole religion in 600 and something. So if you get the irony here, they're not really even original Jews.
Right. And to make it even more contradictory, the Palestinian people are actually Semitic as well. So
they certainly are. Thank you.
Right. Yep, so when you hear about this term being bandied about, anti-Semitism, I can't think of a more anti-Semitic race than the interlopers, the Khazarian mafia over in the Holy Land, oppressing and bombing hospitals and bombing U.N. schools.
Well,
and UN
one more quick note. The whole idea of opposing genocide and the slaughter of men, women, and children, paid for by the United States, by the way, if that makes you an anti-Semite, then, again, count me in. I will not support genocide. I don't care who it is. No.
Yeah.
So play with your labels all you want. It's okay. It's your right. We have a constitution here. But it's not going to bother me. I don't care what names they use. I want the truth. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, me too. And I think the anti-Semitism label is starting to lose a lot of its power. I think that's one of the real positive things that came out of Trump's 4 years in office is people started wearing terms like racist or bigot, like a badge of honor. And it was only a matter of time before it got to anti-Semitic because they've so overplayed that. They've so overused it that it used to be this career ender. It used to be this like, oh no, and now it's like, shut up. You know what I mean? Like no one's buying it anymore. no one cares enough. These Republican governors, most recently Kristi Noem, keep passing legislation adopting the IHR.
Embarrassing.
Right. And, you know, she has, I think, 350 Jewish constituents in her state, and she adopts the IHRA working definition of anti-Semitism, thus making it a crime in her state to criticize Israel or to question certain aspects of World War II. And so it's like it's gone so far that I think even the sensibilities of ordinary Americans are offended at this point, and they're just like, you know what? Enough. They've shot that one big bullet that they had in the gun, and it's like, now what? Now what do you got?
You know what, Wyatt, you're correct. You know what bothers me, though, is that they don't really seem to care much that bullet has lost all of its clout, or most all of it, and people are rejecting that. They know it's just a cheap shot. I'm afraid that the Jewish pharmaceutical industry, which is absolutely lock, stock, and barrel behind the bioweapon virus and the bioweapon COVID injection. Those are terribly deadly bioweapons, and I mean so deadly, we may end up seeing billions dead. They have inoculated 8 billion people in the aggregate with 14 billion injections around the world. Here, it's about 81% of America, 700 million injections into about 275 million Americans. Now, what if they were so confident that these injections and the virus itself, which is being passed around person to person, were going to end up taking out virtually everyone that either became infected with the virus or took the shot? Now, I will tell you, there are reasons to think that that might happen, and maybe that might play a part and they're not seeming to give a damn anymore about losing their clout with that term anti-Semitism and anti-Semite. I'm just throwing this out as a discussion because I do a lot in this field, and it may be. It could be. Possible.
I wouldn't disagree. It certainly seems like they're steamrolling ahead with all their projects right now. What's going on in the Middle East, they're just blitzing forward with it, the ethnic cleansing of Gaza, obviously, and leading to war with Iran and southern Lebanon coming up. And it seems like even the world opinion is totally at odds with this. They're just blitzing right ahead. So to your point, it seems like there's this desperation that has gripped international Jewry, let us say. And I, in my own personal life, I have seen already, just in the last 4 years, multiple people I know who have had strokes, who have died, who have had heart problems, who have had blood clots. So that's just a microcosm, you know, my relatively small sampling in my own personal life. So if you extrapolate from that, I mean, I don't think there's any dire prediction that's too far-fetched at this point, because I've already seen it in an inordinate amount of catastrophic health
just
issues.
In your circle. Yeah, I get it.
Just in my circle, just people I work with.
This is very common, Wyatt. And I am concerned that what I suggested and postulated might actually be true. They are so convinced now and so self-assured after getting so many injections in people that they just have to sit back now and wait for them to die. Mm-hmm. I'm not joking. I hope I'm wrong. No. I hope to hell I'm wrong.
Yeah, you know, but it doesn't seem like you are, unfortunately. And I always go back to a lot of people I know who are having buyer's remorse and that, you know, have regret. Yeah. And I say, but what were you thinking? I mean, like, the way that they pushed it, the way they hung that sword of Damocles over our head and threatened us with our jobs, threatened us with being able to participate in public life. Like, all it should take is seeing Anthony Fauci appear one time on television to know I'm not buying what he's selling. And so this instinct in people, this herd mentality where everyone went along with it, it's like, you know, it's very unfortunate. My heart goes out to the people that are being severely hurt by this. But survival of the fittest isn't just, you know, physical fitness and whatnot. You have to outthink your opponent. You have to be able to outsmart your enemy. And, you know,
survival of the wisest. That, too, is a key player.
Well said. Perfect.
We're in trouble here. We're in big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Have they overextended their reach? I don't think so, because their control is so palpable now and visible. And they're not even they're not hiding. They don't care. And that's fine. But I only say this because they've always used stealth as a primary mechanism with which to instill or inject whatever their goals are into society. They're not stealthy anymore. What's going on in Gaza is not stealth. They're just blowing the hell out of people over there, as you know.
Yeah, and talking about it very openly and bragging
arrogantly,
about it.
Arrogantly, openly. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah, they're not trying to hide anymore. They're not trying to play, you know, dress up and be the poor, persecuted, downtrodden, shtetl dwellers.
Right.
They're the mask is off, and they're revealing themselves as ruthless. And it reminds me of what Harry Truman wrote about them. And obviously Truman was the one who recognized Israel, so he might have had a little buyer's remorse himself. But he said, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, obviously, but he said essentially when they're in power, nobody, not Stalin, not Hitler, nobody has anything on them when it comes to brutality. And that's the stage we're at right now. You know, they had to go along the wolves in sheep's clothing for a while, but now their power is nearly absolute. They've essentially, you know, placed the capstone on their infernal pyramid. So they're not hiding it. They're pretty much telling you what they're doing and just blitzing full speed ahead. And so now it's a matter of raising the consciousness of the people before they can, you know, complete their designs for the Jewish Imperium.
And I again go back to what I posited, and that's that maybe this bioweapon is as deadly as I think it is. And and Erica, well, next hour we're going to do more on this, that they, once they've got these, if, as long as the injection was a viable lot and not a dead lot, if they got one shot into people, that might be enough. I'm very concerned about that. I don't mean to sound paranoid. I hope I don't sound reactionary. But they were behind Alexander at Big Al Borla at Pfizer. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Stefan Bonsell at Moderna. These are Jews. They're always in key positions of power, influence, and authority. I don't care which field you're talking about. And I will do this again. I will say that as a small minority, what they've accomplished is, in my view, astounding, astonishing.
Mm-hmm.
And I have said this before. I tip my hat to them for pulling off the greatest coup of control in this planet's written history. I've never seen anything like it. And I'll stand on that, too. What they've done is unduplicated in history.
It is. And it's unfortunate that they weren't a more benevolent people, because you could really tip your cap to it. There is a lot that we could learn from them. Their tribal cohesion.
It's true.
If we had even a fraction of their tribal cohesion and their, you know, continuity that they have, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in now. But we're so divided and subdivided on so many issues. If you went over to Europe, or if you were over in Japan and you saw a fellow white traveler, it would mean nothing to you, a white Christian traveler. But when a Jew does, and Benjamin Disraeli wrote a little about this in Coningsby in the 19th century, I mean, it means the world to them, because they know there's a spiritual continuity there. There's a deep understanding one with the other. And if we had that, if we could just, you know, band together on the things that really make us unique in our particular people, it would be a different situation. But we can't do that, it seems.
Well, they've carefully kept us divided and under their hegemonistic rule. They know what to do. They own the media. It's not hard. They own the education system. They own most everything, when you think about it. They certainly own our politicians. Who was it that just said, damn it, that I just ran the story, every congressman, woman, or senator has an AIPAC guardian.
Thomas Massie.
Everyone. That's right. Tom Massie said that, and he's so right. He's the only one who doesn't. And look what they've done to him. Look what they did to him.
Yeah, his wife just died, too. And I don't know what the story is, but I know that there were some Jews on Twitter doing a victory lap about it. I saw some people posting.
No one is talking about what she died of. She died suddenly.
Right.
And I think rather than make Tom Massie a martyr, they stabbed him in the heart. I'm not saying all Jews are responsible for this or all Jews want it. I'm just saying that if you were to peel the onion leaves away, you're going to find in the middle of almost every dark power center the same people. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah, and it reminds me, the situation with Thomas Massie reminds me of Dennis Kucinich, I think the congressman from Ohio,
Kucinich,
who after 9/11. Kucinich, that's right. And he was going after the put options that were handled through A.B. Brown Investment Bank on American Airlines and United Airlines, as well as some companies housed in the World Trade Center, the suspicious put options that were purchased in the week leading up to 9/11. So he was investigating that, and then within one year's time, his brother died and his sister died, and that pretty much ended the investigation. So that's how these guys play ball.
Yeah. Look, you're not stretching anything here. There's no stretch in what Wyatt is saying. Nothing. This is all pragmatic. It's the way they do business. Come on, this is a country, or whatever it is, a state, Israel, that has as its bedrock, fallback, final solution, the Samson option. And Seymour Hersh, the outstanding journalist, I think was the first one to write about it. And if you don't know about the Samson option in Israel, you better look it up. You better understand what their plans are. If they face an existential threat, they're going to take everybody out with them as much as they can.
Yeah, and it's that nuclear facility in Dimona that got John F. Kennedy killed because he understood the gravity of the situation. He understood these people, if they have the bomb, if they have a nuclear arsenal, then they're going to be able to leverage power over the entire world.
I think that that's what got John Kennedy killed as well. He fought with David Ben-Gurion, the president or whatever the hell the title was then, of Israel. Ben-Gurion said, no inspections. We're not doing that. Not at Dimona, not at anywhere. And John Kennedy said, oh, yes, we are. We're going to inspect Dimona. You are not going to have a nuclear arsenal. And that was probably all she wrote. That's all it would take. These people are not going to take no for an answer like that. That's not who they are.
Right. Suspiciously, Ben-Gurion resigned in August of 63, just 2 months three months before Kennedy's assassination.
No, smart move. Kept his hands clean. No, they can't point to him as being involved with anything. People are...
Exactly.
Our people are... European Americans, Europeans of the Western white Christian world, I wish they had some of the, I don't know what word to ascribe to it, but some of the strength in numbers that their tiny numbers give. When the bell rings, 95% or more of those who identify as being Jewish are going to stand up and stand together. We don't have that. And you pointing that out is very important. We're not that kind of civilization. They are. And that's I think, at the seat of some of their overwhelming power. You got a babysitter and an overseer for every congressman in this country. An AIPAC agent or asset is watching every single congressperson, senator. Come on, dear friends, Jewish friends and non-Jewish friends alike. Does that equal total power and total control or damn near it? You bet it does. These people are not stupid.
Right. And Cynthia McKinney said the same thing. She was a congresswoman from Atlanta, and she said before she even took her oath of office, she was given a pledge she had to sign that she said was incumbent on every congressperson to sign. And it was saying that you wouldn't support the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement. You would always vote with Israel. Anything Israel wanted, you would rubber stamp. And the other thing they have is blackmail. Obviously, the Epstein-Maxwell thing is very relevant still, but I was just reading a book by Wilbur Evelyn called The Ropes of Sand, and he quotes Alan Dulles in that book as saying that the U.S. and CIA collaboration with Israel and the Mossad opened America up to blackmail, and that was in the 50s he was talking.
Well, very prescient, and he's right. No, it's the mechanism is really not that hard to understand. They know we have weak spots, and they know how to exploit them, and they know how to take control of someone's life No problem at all. One little mistake, and they've got you. And they play gotcha all the time. They're very smart. Anyway.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Well, speaking, getting back to Kennedy, Gaddafi, yeah. the Libyan leader, he spoke out openly about the fact that Kennedy was killed because of his interest in the Dimona nuclear
That's
project.
Right. Muammar Gaddafi, I don't mean to interrupt, Wyatt. Please forgive me.
No,
but you're really on. You're speaking right down the road that I travel. Muammar Gaddafi was one of the great leaders, statesmen, leaders of his people in the last century, period. Last 100 years. You can mark it off any way you want. He was a terrific man, especially for his people. And he did say that. And you're right. And that took a lot of courage. But the truth is the truth. And if we get to the point where we are afraid to speak the truth, we might as well snap on the leg irons because it's over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And look at how Gaddafi, look how he met his end in that ignominious way with that cackling shrew, Hillary Clinton. You know, we saw...
Horrible.
Sickening. Sickening, especially for a man of his status.
I agree. Another man who actually had stature and... I'd be careful with my words, but Saddam Hussein was not a fool, and he was our creation. As you know, CIA creation. And I wrote a book about AIDS and that the U.S. military went to Congress, Department of Defense, and asked for $10 million, I think it was 10, maybe it was 12, but whatever, in 1969 to build a biological agent for which no known human immunological response exists. What does that sound like? That's a paraphrase, but that's what it was. And they asked for this money in 1969 at the House Appropriations Committee hearing, and they got the money. And pretty soon, in the mid-70s, we have AIDS,
right.
HIV. So they built it. They know what they're doing. Anyhow, it's all... When you look and you know where to look and you can divest yourself of the fake reality that the mainstream media and all the media confers upon most people very surreptitiously, it sneaks into their subconscious. Their reality is what's been given to them. If you can get past that, you can begin to see the bigger truth. And there are lots of them to see. Go ahead, please, Wyatt. I'm talking way too much. I'm sorry.
No, you're absolutely correct. And similar to Saddam Hussein being a CIA creation was that other famous boogeyman, Osama bin Laden, who was funded, armed, and trained by Ehud Barak and Israeli military intelligence as well as the CIA. The CIA, obviously, when during the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, and Ehud Barak, when he was head of Israeli military intelligence, funded the gang of Gulbuddin Hekmatyar, which was the most virulently anti-Western gang, and I submit that he was doing it to create the boogeyman for the forthcoming war on terror, and that's certainly how it played out.
Oh, good call. Yeah.
So this,
all of these things are the constructs of the same people, ultimately. Nothing of any substance or circumstance of any import is let to run on its own. It's just not the way they play ball. It's all controlled, one way or another. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is, and we've seen that especially in the post-COVID era here. I mean, have you ever seen a more obvious psychological operation done with such success on such a large amount of people? I mean, that was truly a bizarre time to live through, and it revealed to us all how easily people will fall right in line and become, even neighbors and your friends and people that you thought you knew, how quickly they can turn and have their mind taken over entirely by a hostile foreign people that are really up to no good, that are up to very nefarious things. That to me was a big eye opener because before then, everyone's just sort of kind of going along. You know, people are looking into things, and you know the people that don't, the mainstream media watchers and those sorts of people. But when you actually saw it in real time, this mass psychosis, this mass formation psychosis, I don't know if we'll ever recover from that psychologically. I mean, the fractures run deep still to this day.
Well, and now with all, and you made the point very clearly that within your circle of people, look at the grief and pain and heartache just from these bioweapon injections. And we're here to tell you that getting the virus, the COVID virus, is not something you want to do. That's bad. It's a bad thing. It's another bioweapon. So they got you coming or going here. And again, it's one of the most brilliant operations of mass control and, unfortunately, mass population reduction. That's where we're going, that I've ever even imagined. And I think they did it, and they're just sitting back now, basically. Oh, they may top it off with something new. They may throw another spin at us to keep us under their fear aegis. But it's all contrived. Go ahead.
It is. And I think the next big move is going to be dragging America back into the Middle East, kicking off war with Iran. And that's why I think Trump is being used advantageously by this group to really stimulate the fighting-age white American population. Because I've said it before, but no military-aged male is going to rally around a Biden-Harris presidency, but they will get all worked up into a frenzy and flag wave themselves into a jingoistic stupor for super patriot Trump. So if he sweeps back in office, and that's why I think he's getting a lot of good play from some really suspicious people like Bill Ackman, David Sachs, that Silicon Valley Jacob Ellsberg, who is he's a Jewish homosexual who was a benefactor of Pete Buttigieg, and now he's going Trump because he said after October 7th, the whole game changed, and Trump, to them, is the most viable option to really just finish the job in the Middle East. So I think the next big thing, we had COVID. That was like a mass event. Now we're coming out of that. And I think the next big thing as it pertains to us is going to be an absolutely devastating, destructive war, for the Eretz Israel project, for the Greater Israel project. And I think if you look closely, you can see that formation that foundation being built.
I think you have to look that closely. I see it already. I do.
And I think Trump plays a big part in that. I think he's going to be the lightning rod to really rile up his base, rally around him, and we'll see what happens. But it's not good. It's not good. And if there is any silver lining, though, the word is starting to get out there. I never thought mainstream conservative voices like Candace Owens, I know she's speaking out a bit, Tucker Carlson here and there. So it's starting to seep into the mainstream consciousness a little more. So we'll see what happens.
I think we need to remember also that Trump will do exactly what he's told. They own him. They've leveraged the Trump empire. They've loaned him money. They've got him under total control. His entire family, Jewish. Daughter, Jerry Kushner. These are Lubavitchers. 60% of the Jewish people are apparently friendly to the Lubavitcher idea and Rabbi Schneerson. If you've ever read Rabbi Schneerson, and I get the feeling you probably have, there's an awful lot of hate in there. It's right out in the open. And so this is who's controlling Trump. In fact, I really wouldn't be surprised if Trump weren't a closet convert already. It just wouldn't surprise me. It doesn't matter. He's going to do what he's told. And if what happened last Saturday didn't bring him into line, then he's going to be taken out. It's not over yet. Anyway.
I know. And you get these people that every 4 years, I was just watching the RNC, and every 4 years, these people, God bless them, but they just project all their hopes onto these guys. They're just reading this boilerplate.
It's so sad. It's sad.
It is. It is.
It's sad.
And we need to, we need to unplug from that, that matrix, that political matrix, because these guys are bought and paid for stooges. America First very quickly became Israel First in the first Trump administration because Jared Kushner, lifelong personal friend of Benjamin Netanyahu, was given carte blanche over the foreign policy. And that's going to be the case this time, especially with J.D. Vance. I don't know if you've seen a lot of his posts.
Watched him. He's that hyper-Zionist. He'll do exactly what they want him to do. He's a dangerous fellow for us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. in. So it's, you know, you get that ominous sense of foreboding just watching the chips fall into place here. And anyone who's still duped into thinking that we're going to see significant change from this tired, worn-out Trump administration. I mean, the Trump revolution has been successfully assimilated into the mainstream GOP at this point. It's just, you know, to think that there's going to be any significant change emanating from that is a really just a foolish idea.
Oh, that's a good word. It's very foolish. I looked at a little bit of the RNC, just a few minutes of it, where they were panning the audience. And you know what I saw? I saw a few token blacks, and then I saw a lot of overweight white people. And I'm not being racist here at all. I'm just telling you what I saw. These people did not exude energy, vibrancy, fitness. They just, no. And I know there are fat people on the other side of the aisle. Okay, I get it. But the state of America right now is not good. And these people did not look good to me. Yeah.
No, it's a joke. And if we're really going to crawl out of this mess, like if you watch, like let's, and this will be controversial, but if you watch Adolf Hitler and you watch the speeches and the pageantry of the rallies, and you see a grimness, you see a determination, you see a man articulating the concerns that affected everybody. You don't see goofy Kid Rock or Hulk Hogan and this sort of like, you know, just nonsense. Like we are a foolish nation. Like the stakes are so high right now, and things have gotten so bad. The fact that the RNC looks like that with these, you know, country bumpkins out there, and like you said, these overweight slobs, and Jason Aldean up there with his baseball hat on, covered in tattoos. It's like, this is a joke. It's a total joke. There's no sense of urgency. There's no sense of anything other than let's just wahoo, let's just have a good time, man. And it's like, how are you ever gonna restore your nation to greatness with these clowns?
They look like pushovers. There was no substance there. It was a cartoon. It was a WWE event. Literally.
Yep.
Literally.
Yep.
They turned the whole thing into a clown show, and it was on full display last night. I was appalled. I looked at just the part with Hulk Hogan, and I don't. And then the Democratic National Convention, you know, it's going to be Bolshevism on stage one. They'll be having they'll be doing their commie stuff, and it's just bizarre to me how it's flip flopped. Russia, 50 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Was communist. 50 years ago, America was still America. Now, 50 years later, America is communist, and Russia is exuding the values we used to have and hold dear. They're beginning to teach home economics in high school now in Russia. The first thing we got rid of was home economics when the war on the family was declared.
Yep. Yeah, well said. And I think it's a very, you know, good point that you bring up. And a lot of people, unfortunately, still view Russia as the Soviet menace. And I'm trying to, like some people I work with, they're like, you know, older people especially, they still think Russia is the, you know, Ivan the, you know, and I'm like, no, it's a Christian nation that's trying to uphold a sense of morality. They don't want this degeneracy that has destroyed our nation. They don't want this LGBT gender madness over there. And that's not a bad thing. We should support them. I mean, it's so funny with conservatives because they bitch about the, you know, pardon my language, they complain, they decry the problems in America. But then when a country opposes that, be it Iran, be it Russia, you know, stands against the sexual revolution or whatever, we get all upset about that and filled with this righteous indignation. And it's like, well, talk about double-minded. Scripture does tell us that the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So.
Oh, you're right. No, I'm not particularly optimistic about our chances, especially after watching that freak show last night for the 10 minutes I watched. That's a shame. Shameful.
Yeah.
Shameful behavior. No, we don't.
Yeah,
don't have it. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think it matters on our end. This is all bread and circuses being fed to the masses. They're going to do what they want. They've already made up their minds, in my view, and they're just rolling it out. I think they made this whole plan, laid it out a year or two ago, maybe longer ago. And they know what's going to happen. They're going to win any way it comes out, so it doesn't really matter to them. They've got all their bases covered. They rule.
Yeah.
I don't like saying that because it does sound a little defeatist, but I'm not a defeatist. I'm just, I really believe in awareness and honesty and pragmatism. You've got to look at this as it really is. You can't look at it as you wish it was. It doesn't work that way.
Right. Yeah, we can't bury our head in the sand and pretend it's something it's not. You know, we gotta face the dragon, and as uncomfortable as that might be sometimes.
Right, Wyatt. It's really been a pleasure having you on. Thank you. You're very aware, very alert. I'd like to have you come back sometime fairly soon, and we'll continue this conversation.
Absolutely, Jeff. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, my friend. Take care.
Yeah. Have a good night.
You too. Wyatt Peterson, and just click on his name and go take a look at this paper. He's a good writer, and he's got a very good handle on the generalities that we're all struggling with, whether we even recognize them or not. They're there. And if we don't wake up now, it's done. All right, hold on, gang. We'll take a break and come right back with hour two. Erica up next. Stay there.